And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, I was raised a little bit different than a lot of folks, but I have a suspicion that maybe you were raised a lot like me. When I was a young man, we said sir and ma'am. It's just the way we talked. I didn't discover till later that some people said, well, that's the way they talk down south. They don't talk that way up north. I think a lot of people did, though. Maybe you did. Maybe you're from Michigan, Ohio, Washington State, or Maryland. Maybe you talk that away too. You know, I think politeness has always existed in America. And America is one of the most polite, dignified nations on earth, or it used to be. But when I was a kid, we didn't use curse words around the woman folk. In fact, my parents didn't allow me to say curse words at all. And I'll never forget the day that we had six kids in our family, mom and dad and six kids. One of them, I can't remember which, said the word damn, D-A-M-N. Boy, it was like, it was like all fury had been released by my mom. She took each of his kids one at a time, and I don't know why I got this too. Even my little sister. I was the fifth of six kids. My little sister Sharon was sixth. She took us all in and washed our mouth out with soap. She actually did it. Now, I think the older kids got it stiffer. She just sort of ran the soap around my mouth just a little bit. You know, just so I'd know what it tasted like. But my mom said, I'm not going to have any curse words from you kids. Now, she said, and that means darn. And you know, which we would sometimes say when we hit our finger, you know, with a hammer or something. Oh, darn. She said, that's just a, she said, that's a substitute for the word damn, and you're going to get it. Well, I tell you. Well, I remember those old days, and, you know, my mom is 90-something years old. She's still alive today. She's spry as can be. I think she's sharper than she was when she was young. And, you know, I don't blame her at all for washing her mouth out with soap, although I don't think I really deserved it. I mean, only one of six did it, and all six of us got it. But that just showed you, I mean, that's the way my mother was. Now, she wasn't some raging religious fanatic at all. But she wanted us kids to be polite and nice and mannerly. Well, I'm afraid today that America has really become vulgar. It's disregarded what our mamas taught us. We need to return to that age, my friends. We need to return to the age when people didn't use curse words. We didn't say SH and FU and all those horrible words. And I'll tell you, I'm a little sick of them. You can't watch TV for more than 30 seconds, it seems like, unless somebody gives a curse word out. And every supposed comedian has to say something about some joke having to do with letting gas out or some bodily fluid, or I mean, they're all filthy mouth. Well, you know, when I was in school, we played various games. And finally, I played football. I wasn't very good, but I played it. Played a little bit of basketball. I was worse at that. I boxed some, and I was pretty good at that. Although I changed my career, I was going to be a boxer for life. I said, I'm really good. until I got knocked out. And the kids ran around calling me Canvasback Kid. You know, I didn't like that. Of course, none of them would box. I did. And got knocked out one time. I decided I was going to have a change of career. So I went in the Air Force, became an Air Force officer. And, you know, I never had anybody call me Canvasback Kid as an officer. Of course, I was just a young man at the time. And, you know, my coaches all said to us, they had a rule. If anyone says a bad word, a curse word, you get spanked. And they had a board. It was a paddle. It was like a round, you know, thing at the end, and it had, you know, where you could hold it with your hand. And they kept the paddle on a little wire in their office. Now, I guess you can't do that to kids nowadays, right? You can't give them licks. That's what we call it, licks. But when we played anything, dodgeball, basketball, football, if you said a bad word, uh-oh, the coach says, come into my office, whammo. Boy, you got it. First time, one lick. Second time, three licks. I don't know of anybody that ever got it more than twice. I don't know of anybody that got more than three licks. It would have been terrible. I mean, it really hurt. I just got licks one time. I said a bad word. I never said one again. I never said a bad word at home anymore. Never said one in, you know, physical education class at school. Then when I went in the Air Force, became an officer, and they taught us the same thing. They actually had a block of instruction, and the instructor told us that officers do not use curse words. Well, I did run into a few officers later on that did, but they weren't supposed to. But they said officers are gentlemen, and gentlemen don't use curse words. They're not vulgar. Vulgar. That was a term that I learned, and learned all about it in officer training school. Don't be vulgar. Now, when I was a kid, you'd go to a public parade or a public game like football or baseball. People were in the stands there, and no one ever cursed. I never heard anyone curse around ladies, for example. No one ever said bad words around the ladies. Of course, I wouldn't either. Wouldn't dare. I wouldn't because you have to respect the ladies. Respect them. But I don't know when that changed in America, but when I was about 20 or so, they started cursing. And I'd go to games or, you know, sports programs or whatever, and I'd hear people cursing all around me. And my girlfriend or my wife would hear that. And, you know, I wanted to cover up their ears. I didn't want them to hear the dirty words. And really, I felt that those people were very pitiful that freely chose profane words. And now, friends, it's gotten so bad that I believe America should win an award. We really are the most vulgar nation on earth. It has not always been this way. I promise you that. Now, a couple of weeks back, maybe a month or so, I read to you from George Washington, President, and, of course, General George Washington. He actually gave an order to his troops. George Washington, here's the order. I Googled it up, and I just Googled in George Washington on cursing, or cussing. I guess we call it down south, cussing. George Washington on cussing. You can Google it up yourself, find out exactly what he said. But there's two record cases. Now, if you can't trust President or General George Washington, who can you trust? Now, I know that there were great men back in those days, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, John Quincy Adams, John Adams. And I've read through all of their writings, and you know, I can't see any of them that said curse words. Thomas Jefferson was probably the most prolific writer. But John Quincy Adams, boy, he wrote a lot of things too. And you know, I've never seen one play. If you can show me where Thomas Jefferson or John Quincy Adams or John Adams or James Madison or any of these great men, show me where they use cuss words or obscenities. I'd like to see it. It did not happen. Now, George Washington, I want to read to you again because this really, it's very deserving. George Washington at Valley Forge. I mean, in the desperation of that winter, and men were so cold, their feet got frostbitten and they couldn't wear their shoes, and they taped, you know, scarves around their feet and they swole up. It was a terrible winter. And he couldn't get enough food for them. He didn't have enough heat for their cabins. And the American soldiers were in a real fix. What was George Washington's mind concentrated on? Sure, he was concerned about their food. He was concerned about their fuel. He was concerned about training. He was, you know, and he was so outnumbered. I mean, he had to have God on his side. He had to have God on his side to win the victory against the British. But where did he turn his mind and his attention to? Well, it was on cussing. Let me read to you this order. He said, this is an order that he sent to all of his officers. And listen to what he said, friends. And you know, I think if I read this today, and many people listened to it, heard it, they'd laugh. They'd scorn it. They'd say, boy, wasn't he old-fashioned. Yeah, well, maybe they need a little instruction. Maybe they need to be brought up a little bit. Maybe they need to be cast into some den of evil the way these men were. But they persevered, and they obeyed their commander, George Washington, General George Washington. And they loved their commander. And they fought to the death, and they won. But let's see what he had to say. August 3rd, 1770, it's dated. He says, the general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice heretofore little known in an American army, is growing into a fashion. He hopes the officers will, by example as well as influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect that weak and little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it is a vice so mean and low, without any temptation, that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. Wow. I'm going to read that to you in its entirety. I want you to understand what he said. This is a violation against God. You're insulting God Almighty when you use profanity. Let me read it to you. Starting, it was signed George Washington, of course. The general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice hitherto little known in our American army, is growing into fashion. He hopes that the officers will, by example as well as influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect that we can little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Added to this, first of all, he says, get that, friends? He said, we cannot hope of the blessings of heaven We cannot hope for the blessings of heaven if we insult heaven with his folly. Then he says this. Added to this, he writes, it is a vice so mean and low, without any temptation, that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. You don't have to curse, he says. You haven't been tempted by anybody or anything to curse. You do it because you do it. You're low, you're mean. And any gentleman, he says, any man of sense and character detests and despises it. Young person, listen to me out there. You think it's really cool to play these rock music songs and the beautiful music songs, the rap music songs, and they have these filthy, dirty words in them. You think that's, oh, that's so cool. That's so modern. That's so with it. No. No. It's mean. It's low. And any man of sense and character would detest and despise it. Do you realize what George Washington, don't talk about him being an old man, old fuddy-duddy from way back. He knows this is an eternal order, my friends. This order went down in history. That's why I was able to Google it up so fast. This is an, I mean, they taught me this order when I was in officer training school. They told me what George Washington said back in the 1770s stands for today. Over 200 years later, it's still good. Listen up. Well, nevertheless, young people, old people, think it's really cool. It's really fantastic to curse. Juan and I were looking for a good movie to watch one day, and I've forgotten what it is. It was on HBO. I think it was about the old Western days. And I forget the name of the movie. It was a series back then. And it had some big name stars. I said, let's watch that. I can promise you, I did not count them. But in the first 15 minutes of that show, the word F-U-C-K it was blasted out at least 20 times. And I'll bet you in the hour it must have been 100 times. I don't know if they talked that way back in the old Western days. I doubt it. I've never heard of any American president. Can you get anything that Lincoln wrote or said? Can you show me the curse words? I want to know, did Lincoln curse? Did he use profanity? Did he use obscenity? Take the Gettysburg Address. 67 years ago, our forefathers brought forth unto this. Read that and see if there are any curse words that he put in there just for effect, just to shock people. No. He was a man with dignity and no vulgarity. Now, friends, they're everywhere today. I'm going to give you some examples of this. It's so bad. I was watching TV one night, watching the news. There was Vice President Dick Cheney. He was vice president then. He had been sent over to the Senate to make some photo opportunity photos. You know, to get pictures made with various senators. There was Senator Leahy from Vermont. They were standing together. Leahy said something to him, and Vice President Cheney responded to him, F you. He used the whole word, F you. The cameras caught it, and the whole United States saw it. Well, not everybody, I guess, cares about politics, but enough of them saw it. Thousands saw him call a senator, just tell a senator, F you. He used the whole word. Now, recently, he was on a TV show, and he was asked about that. In fact, they showed it. They replayed it. They said, you told a U.S. senator on the floor of the Senate, F you. What do you think about that today? And he laughed, and he said, I think it's one of the best things I've ever said. One of the best things he's ever said. Dirty, foul-speaking. But hey, let's not blame the Republicans. How about Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, our vice president today? When the Obamacare bill passed Congress by one vote, if I can understand, right? When Obamacare passed, well, President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden went on the White House there, went in the White House, and they held a press conference. And Joe Biden went up first, and he talked about what a great, wonderful thing this was. And then he motioned for the president to come forward and to speak about what he thought was the significance of the Obamacare bill, officially called the Affordable Care Act. And as he turned and brought his hand over, and as Obama moved toward the podium, Biden smiled and said to the president, quote, this is a big effing, he said the whole word, deal. This is a big effing deal. Thousands more heard it. The vulgar. It was a big effing deal, you know. I suspect a lot of people thought it is a big effing deal. Filthy. Now, Joe Biden has been known as a man of some filth. He's been called the most creepy vice president America's ever had. He's always putting his hands on women's back, on women's arms, around their waist. He's known really as a dirty old man. He is. And recently he went to the Senate to do some photo ops and to take pictures with the families and with the senators that had been elected. I was shocked at what he had to say. I was shocked. They were totally inappropriate, his remarks. Let me give one of them to you. I mean, this is something out of a satanic manual, and it was Vice President Joe Biden. Now, this one senator came up with his wife, and he had his little girl there. I think she was 12 or 13 years old. And they were so happy that he was, you know, being elected as senator, and there was Joe Biden to take their, to have this picture made with them. And Joe Biden smiled and said to the guy, think of this. All these people waiting in line to have their picture made. And here's what Joe Biden says, your daughter's beautiful. You know, you go to bed with a beautiful young woman at night, and you wake up the next morning in bed with a snake. Huh? Friends, I'm not kidding you. That's what he said. You go to bed with a young woman, a young, beautiful woman at night, and you wake up the next morning in that bed with a snake. What did he mean? Here's this poor little 12-year-old girl. She had never met the man in her life. What is he talking about? Well, I knew that was an allusion to, that's a satanic ritual that's done, and it's a pedophilia statement as well. He was talking about a pedophile act. This man was a wicked devil, and somehow this got out of his brain, and his, the issues of the heart sometimes come out of the mouth, don't they? Well, Hillary Clinton is about as foul-mouthed as it gets. The Secret Service agents that worked at the White House claim that Hillary is rotten. She's rotten mouth. More so than her husband, Bill. And they know her as a lesbian. Now she has, Umadin, who works for her, the woman who works for her, also a lesbian. They live together as lesbians. If she's elected president, she'll be the first woman as president and the first lesbian. All the lesbians in Washington, D.C. know her. In fact, I quote one of the top lesbians in America on Inauguration Day when Hillary and Bill Clinton became president and first lady. A speech was given openly by this lesbian. And she said, "Isn't it wonderful? We now have a first lady in the White House that we can F with. We now have a first lady that we can F in the White House." Now, the next time Bill and Hillary, after 4 years, they went to the big national convention of the Democrats, it was a foregone conclusion that Bill Clinton would be chosen again to run as president of the United States for a second term by the Democrats. But the Democrats had their little fun with it. I was watching television. I just watched probably 10 minutes of the entire convention. I was watching, and there was, I believe it was this, I forget her name, the one of the girls from CBS. And she was just radiating how wonderful it was that Hillary was so beloved by the whole convention. She said, "You know, there's a pin, a political pin that everybody's wearing." Okay, you know, these elections, they wear the little hats and they have the little, you know, flags and things. They blow back and forth with their hands. And they all wear some kind of political pin on their jacket or their coat or whatever. This one, she says, shows Hillary, just a picture of Hillary's face. And she has the green hair of Rodman, you know, the basketball player who was big at the time. Rodman. Of course, Hillary's name is Rodham. And there she was depicted as the basketball star Rodham with her green hair. Of course, she really didn't have green hair, but they made her look like that in the pen. And the words on it, and this CBS reporter was laughing about it, printed around the pen say, "As bad as she wants to be. As bad as she wants to be." And Hillary thought it was great. CBS told us that it was the most popular pin worn. Everybody has this pin. Hillary is Rodman with a little short green afro haircut and the words, "As bad as she wants to be." Goodness gracious. Vulgar. And I realized then, I said, America is surely the most vulgar nation on earth. Well, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, I'm going to give you some more examples of vulgarity. And, you know, friends, it's just such a shame. We have gone from General George Washington as our first president to Bill Clinton to George Bush to Barack Obama. And we have become the most depraved, monstrously evil society in the history of mankind. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I'd like to tell you about my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. This is a controversial book. It's been a bestseller on Amazon.com in the area of Jewish books. I didn't write it for Jews necessarily, although it talks a lot about the Jews. Where do they come from? What has DNA science told us about the bloodline, the DNA, the genetics of those people who call themselves Jews? DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. You know, a lot of secrets have been revealed from DNA. I know that the CIS, the forensic science type police dramas, really are the biggest shows on television today. There's five or six of them. I never really watched one from beginning to end, but everyone tells me, oh, this is my favorite show, CIS Miami or whatever. And they all tell a story of some criminal that's been caught up in a web of his own making because of forensic science. Often DNA tells us who the bad guys are. If it weren't for DNA, so many bad guys would go free today. But we're catching them with the use of DNA. Now, DNA reveals a lot of things. It tells who's the father, who's the mother. And it's just an amazing thing. It tells us where a person comes from. I have a good friend and his wife. He's a medical doctor. And his wife and he rode off to this company. I think they spent $100 or so to find out where they came from. And I was kidding them, you know. I said, well, you can get out your birth certificate and tell where you came from. Look, you came from Dallas, Texas, I said. Well, he laughed a little bit. He said, I know, but, you know, I wanted originally where my ancestors came from. I said, well, what did you find out? He said, well, you know, it's interesting. Of course, his name, by the way, is Sneed, S-N-E-E-D. But he said, you know, it's interesting because, of course, most of our ancestors came from England, but before that, they came from the Norwegian countries or Scandinavia, the Vikings. Well, you know, a lot of the Vikings went to England, Great Britain, and that's why. And so he's so I just so now he's my great friend, the Viking. You know? It's true. A lot of people are shocked, though, and some people are shocked because they find out they have a little bit of black blood. Or maybe a black man has a bit of white blood. And I think it's an interesting thing myself. Now, let me just tell you right away, folks. I don't care where you came from. You know, Jesus looks at you the same way he does the man next door or the woman next door. It doesn't matter. He makes no preferences. He doesn't say, I like this person better, they're African American. Or this person is a great person because they came from, you know, Scandinavia or Germany or Turkey or somewhere. So God doesn't care, but the Jews seem to care. The Jews claim theirs is a superior race. They believe they're gods. That's ridiculous. And you know what? DNA science has proven them wrong. In fact, it turns out that most Jews are not Jews. Say what? That's right. They come from Khazaria, a European country that is made up of people that mostly is Turkish and Mongols. Well, I'm not knocking that because, you know, Mongols are pretty bright people, pretty good people, too. Did you know that Mongols, the average IQ of a Mongol person from Mongolia is higher than, well, almost every country on the face of the earth? The Mongols are pretty smart folks. In any case, it got into my mind that God tells us that the Jews will not be Jews in the last days. He talks of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. God repeats himself. When God repeats himself, you better listen. He doesn't do that just for fun. Well, maybe he does. I don't know. God probably has a lot of fun at our expense, just joking. But he says it twice. He speaks of the synagogue of Satan, how evil, how depraved they are, how their actions result in the death of so many Christian believers. But he says someday, these people who call themselves Jews but are not, and are the synagogue of Satan, they will come and worship at your feet. That's what it says. Well, what if the Jews are the synagogue of Satan? What if they're not really Jews? They say they're Jews, but they're not, because now their bloodline has been traced all the way back to Gazaria. They don't go all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have never set a foot in the Holy Land before. This is the most significant book ever written. I want to say that. Now, I exclude the Bible. It's in a very special category all its own. But other than the Bible, this is the most wonderful book because it tells the truth. DNA science, you know, God gives us mathematical certainties. And I think he just wanted to show what liars people are. I've had people come up to me and say, I'm Jewish. I say, really? Can you trace your family back? Well, yes. Well, where can you trace them back? Oh, I can trace them all the way back to Abraham. Well, show it to me on paper. Well, I don't have it, but I can. No, you can't. You cannot trace your... You may think it goes back. You may make up some, you know, organizational chart you think takes you all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's all in your head, my friends. But DNA will tell you where you come from. Don't lie to me. For $100, I can find out where you come from, folks. But listen, I'll believe you. I don't care. But let's not let people lie to us. Let's not let them fudge on us. That's why I wrote DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. And you know what? The Jews got angry at me. They demand that they have the bloodline that goes all the way back to Abraham. But if you were to go all the way back in history to the first man and woman that was whoever lived, who would that be? I think it would be Adam and Eve, wouldn't it? We all come from the blood of Adam and Eve, don't we? Isn't that an amazing thing? There it is. In the book of Acts, it tells you the facts. Out of one blood, out of one blood, God made all the people on the face of planet Earth. There it is. So why would the Jews lie? Why would all these other people lie to you? Well, they've got their own reasons. You'll find out about them in this book. But I hope you'll get this book. Total of $25. And that includes shipping and handling. $25 for the book, DNA Science, and the Jewish Bloodline. You can get it by writing to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website anytime, day or night, and order the book. I even have some articles about it. Go to our article. They call them a morgue. I don't like that morgue sound. It's sort of like they're dead articles. But I guess that's what they do. Online internet. Jerry, can we get another name for it? It's not morgue, is it? You get archives. All right, good. All right. Yeah. The morgue is the old name, isn't it? The morgue. Yeah, our articles live. All right, good enough. Well, in any case, you'll be able to find the book there. Our website is powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. You can phone us, too, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. During the work week, and say, hey, give me that book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Show it to your friends. They'll all get mad at you. No, they won't. Some of them will. Some of them, they don't want to trust science. But it's scientific. It's true. And God made DNA math. Isn't that fascinating? God made it. He made the whole universe. You can create anything in the universe using DNA. Wow. Astonishing, isn't it? And God made it that way. I don't know how he did it. All those zillions of combinations of numbers, and what a mathematician God is. He's mighty. He's incredible. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. This is Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. And we're discussing the most vulgar nation on planet Earth. Yes, America has sadly become the most vulgar nation on Earth. From the era 1776 to 1800, when General George Washington issued an order to his soldiers forbidding profane language, America has degraded. It's now become a dirty, foul-mouthed land. There's no decency. There's no dignity. You know, I want to give you some examples of this. You may not think of this as bad behavior. I do. Now, I only saw it afterhand. This guy Kanye West, the boyfriend of one of the Kardashian girls, maybe the Kardashian girl, Kanye West. Now, twice he didn't like who won some award. The first one was Taylor Swift. The second was some guy, some singing award. So what did he do? He interrupted the proceedings before the cameras, and he said, "You don't deserve this award. Beyonce does." Well, I'm sure Beyonce thanks him for that. But couldn't he just keep his mouth shut? That's his opinion. So Beyonce did not win this award or that award. But Kanye West says, yes, she did. You know, she didn't win it, but she should have. She's the best. And he blows his mouth. It just shows a lack of character. Mr. West, you're sort of a donkey. Stop it, please. Then, of course, there's the rap songs that we have to endure. Even some of the ones for the commercials. They bring back old rap and various songs. They're just dirty. They're immoral and dirty. One goes, "I'm too sexy for my shirt. I'm too sexy for my..." This guy used the whole time of the commercial talking about how he's too sexy. Couldn't we just see a commercial and not hear all this bragging of sexiness? Incredible, isn't it? Now, there's another kind of vulgarity. It's the vulgarity that America, through political correctness, forced people to do certain political acts. For example, take the case of Khan Hoon. Khan Hoon, that's his name. Now, Khan Hoon knows something about living in a society that does not have freedom of religion, speech. He knows about that. He was one of millions in communist Vietnam who fled that police state. He fled it in a rickety boat. Why? Because he was a Christian. It was a communist country. He had to leave, or maybe die. Well, Khan Hoon risked his life for a chance, and he and his children made it to America. And he came to America and he thanked Americans for having freedom of religion and belief. He said he loved America because he was able to worship as he believed right. How did he worship? As a Christian. As a Christian. And you know, we all were thankful to Mr. Hoon. Now, Mr. Hoon became not only a U.S. citizen through naturalization, he became a Christian pastor, a Vietnamese pastor in America. He came to Houston, Texas to live, and he found out he's in a little bit of trouble there. You see, he has preached sermons telling people what the Bible says about homosexuality. Seems that the mayor of Houston, Anise Parker, didn't like that. She didn't want anybody criticizing her chosen lifestyle. Now, Mr. Kuhn, his sermons, his communications about homosexuality were actually subpoenaed by this lesbian mayor. She got some rotten, corrupt judge of a liberal nature to give her a subpoena. And Pastor Kuhn was served the subpoena. Now, his specific complaint in his sermon, not only did he say that homosexuality was against God's word, and it is, but it was a ordinance passed by the city of Houston. This mayor, Anise Parker, and all her girlfriends and boyfriends, well, she didn't have any boyfriends, but you know what I mean, homotypes, had changed the law to make it rightful that homosexuals or transgenders or what have you could go in any restroom they wanted. Well, Pastor Kuhn, that sickened him. He said, that's wrong. I don't want my children going into a public restroom to be followed by some dirty, filthy old man, or old woman, for that matter, or young, I suppose. Public restrooms should be designated for the opposite sex. Now, friends, how about you? You have a 5-year-old girl, you have a 4 or 5-year-old boy, 6-year-old, and they go in this public restroom, and somebody of the opposite sex go in there and says, it's okay if I'm in here because of my transgenderism. No, it's not okay. You don't want men going to the women's restroom and women going to the men's restroom. And how about young teenage girls? Do they really want some transgender, some dude to go in their restroom? Of course not. But Anise Parker, she didn't mind. Well, Pastor Kuhn did. And he preached about it. And the mayor of Houston says that's wrong. And now she's using her political correctness and her communist spirit to go after pastors who oppose this. This is vulgar. This is vulgarity. She is a vulgar woman. I can't tell you why the citizens of Houston elected this junky lesbian woman. I can't tell you that, but they sure shouldn't have done it. Now, at the same time, let's just leave Houston, Texas, and go somewhere else. How about Idaho? How about Coeur d'Alene, Idaho? Beautiful place up there. Well, according to the Washington Times, it seems that city officials up in Coeur d'Alene have laid down the law to Christian pastors. They told pastors in that city bluntly, via an ordinance, that if you refuse to marry a homosexual, you will face jail time and fines. Imagine, you're a pastor. Doesn't matter what church. Doesn't matter if you're Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic. Doesn't matter. Homosexual wants to get married, you've got to marry him. Two homosexuals of the same sex. And if you refuse to marry them, you'll be put in jail. You'll be subjected to fines. Now, this was on the heels of a legal battle with Donald and Evelyn Knapp. They're ordained ministers. They own the Hitching Post Wedding Chapel in the city. But they refuse to marry gays. Well, a federal judge recently ruled that the state's ban on gay marriage was unconstitutional. Now, it's amazing that it's been constitutional ever since Idaho was a state. It's always been constitutional. Suddenly, it's unconstitutional. Aren't we talking about the same constitution? Yes. They just wanted to change it. Made no sense, but they did it anyway. Well, on Friday, it says a same-sex couple asked to be married by the Knapps, and the Knapps politely declined. Now the Knapps are facing a 180-day jail term and a $1,000 fine for each day they decline to celebrate the same-sex marriage. Now, friends, If you live up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, you need to get down to the city council, and you need to give them a little bit of your mind. Are these people out of their minds? Have they gone crazy? No, they're just vulgar. They're forcing Christian pastors to marry same-sex couples. Forcing them. You know, I tell you, there's going to be a lot answered for on Judgment Day. But I think these people are going to answer before that. You know, at some award ceremony just a week or two ago, I forget what it was, Jerry, but Madonna, you know, the singer, the entertainer, she came up to get an award, and I noticed that when she turned around, she didn't have any fabric on her butt, her back end, or rear end, whatever you call it. It was just, there it was, showing her back end. That was the dress that she had on. And I told Wanda, well, that beats all. Really didn't beat all, but it was pretty sickening. And, you know, I think Madonna's like 65 years of age. She wants to show her back into the world. There it was. Well, about 2 weeks later, just last week, I saw on television that Madonna had a little fall. She had her show with all of the characters and everything, and she was parading on some stage. And they had a time during her show when everything was reaching a crescendo, you know. Everything was getting, all the music getting loud, and she was singing and all this. And all these guys were going around her. They were all wearing horns and a red outfit. They were all devils, you know. And she had all this satanic music going on. And suddenly, she missed a step and fell and broke a leg. And I thought, how appropriate. How appropriate. She showed her back in, and she broke a leg. You know, it was like, you know, God wrote the script. You know, okay, you want to show your back in, I'm going to show you what I can do. Now, she'll probably be out for 6 months or so. But it's really bad. It's vulgar. That's what it is, folks. It's absolutely vulgar. Now, for this couple, I remember that when they started, you know, these same-sex marriages and homosexual ordinances by city councils, people would say to them, if you pass this ordinance, ministers are going to have to marry homosexual couples. Oh, ha, 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 you're so stupid, they said. That'll never happen. Ministers will never have to marry a homosexual couple. Why? This is a free country. They'll never be required to do that. That would be political correctness gone wild. Ha, 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 ha. You stupid Christians. Uh-oh. Now, though, here it is. And that's exactly what has happened. And the city officials are insisting that their ordinances are in line with the law. So this is going to spread. And across America, pastors are going to have to make a choice. Either they do what the cities want and displease God, or they go the other way. They please God and tell the cities, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Well, you know, I'll have to tell you, I've been cursed at a lot, spit upon, all kind of things. But sometimes you just get to the point where you say, I'm not going to do that. Pastors, do you hear me? Just make up your mind. Say, I'm not going to do that. Well, you'll be put in jail then. I'm not going to do that. Then you'll be given a fine. I'm not going to do that. Now, another area of political correctness and vulgarity is Christian Zionist. You may be surprised for me to say this. But Christian Zionists keep believing that the Jews love them in return for all of their slavish support of Israel. They said, Jews love us. They cooperate with us. They come to our churches. They preach to our people. Oh, yes, the Jews love we Zionist Christians. It's wonderful how much love we receive from these wonderful, pious Jews. Let me tell you something, friends. No matter how much you support them, no matter how much, you know, you don't say one bad word about the Zionist Jews or their horrible, devilish book, the Talmud, or their monstrous, occult instruction guide, the Kabbalah. No matter how much you love the Jews, they will not love you back. And the reason why is clear. They hate Jesus. They hate the name Jesus, the name above all names, the name that we love and appreciate, that we actually adore. They despise. They can't love you. They will never love you. Because you believe in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. I want to read it to you. It's vulgar for you to think otherwise. It's vulgar for you to think the Jews love you. I want you to get my book, On the Jews and Their Lies, by Martin Luther. I say it's my book. I published the book, but Martin Luther wrote it. It's a fantastic book. Martin Luther, the great pioneer, the great Protestant reformer, wrote a whole book on the Jews. And he told you what they really believed. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Man. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. That's why the Jews hate you. Now, what are you going to do about it? Don't hate them back. No, you're making a big mistake. Don't hate them back. Pray for them. But don't forgive them. Don't excuse them. Don't say it's nothing. Don't say, well, I'll just keep the name of Jesus quiet when I'm around them. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Never do that. Never let somebody else influence your behavior in regards to Jesus. Jesus, my friends, is Lord of all. He is the foundation that you must set. And no other foundation can a man lay. The name above all names, Jesus Christ. Don't forget it, friends. You will never go wrong if you remember this verse. I love this verse. Oh, my goodness. Philippians 2:9, 2:10, 2:11, ending up with, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been looking at the vulgarity, but you don't have to be vulgar. You can put a stop to it in your life, in the life of your loved ones. Put a stop to vulgarity today and exalt the name of Jesus each and every moment of your life. I'm Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in each week during this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.